So what is AFib and how can you prevent it with lifestyle and dietary changes? Here to answer those questions and more is Dr. Faisal Merchant, a cardiac electrophysiologist at Emory University.
Another in the podcast series, Advancing Your Health with Emory Healthcare. Here's Bill Klaproth.
Dr. Merchant, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. So first off, what is AFib?
AFib, or atrial fibrillation, is an irregular heartbeat that typically starts in the top chambers of the heart. So usually the top chambers of the heart and the bottom chambers of the heart work in unison. The top chambers contract first, or they activate first, and then the bottom chambers activate. And when individuals develop atrial fibrillation, the electricity in the top chambers of the heart becomes irregular, and that causes the heart to beat in an irregular fashion. And most typically, for people who have atrial fibrillation, it usually originates in the top left chambers of the heart, although there is some variability from individual to individual.
So who is at risk for AFib?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. AFib can occur in many different types of individuals. Classically, atrial fibrillation tends to become much more common with age. So although we do see some younger individuals in their 30s or 40s that have atrial fibrillation, the risk of developing atrial fibrillation increases significantly as people get into their 50s, 60s, and 70s. So as people get older, they're much more likely to be at risk of atrial fibrillation. There are other conditions or other factors that we know also increase the likelihood of developing atrial fibrillation, as I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit. People who are overweight are at much higher risk of developing atrial fibrillation. Individuals who have high blood pressure, particularly if it's not well controlled, people who have diabetes or obstructive sleep apnea, all of those things, if they're not well controlled and treated, can also increase the risk of developing atrial fibrillation.
So what are the symptoms? How would someone know if they have this?
Yeah, people who have atrial fibrillation, some people are very symptomatic. They can tell immediately when their heart goes out of rhythm. Other people may have symptoms that are much more subtle. And some people have no symptoms at all, and the atrial fibrillation may be incidentally found when they're having medical tests done for other reasons. For people who have symptoms, many times people will feel a sense of irregularity. They'll feel like their heart's racing or fluttering or beating irregularly. That's probably the most common symptom, something called palpitations or a sense of having an irregular or fast heartbeat. For some people, atrial fibrillation may also cause them to feel short of breath, particularly when they're active, when they're trying to exercise or walk up and down a flight of stairs. Some people get a lot of fatigue and just generally feel tired when they're in AFib. And then, as I said, some people don't have a lot in the way of symptoms, and the atrial fibrillation may only be detected when they're having tests done for other medical reasons.
So, Dr. Merchant, does this come and go? Like, I'm having an AFib attack for 20 minutes and it goes away? How does this work?
Yeah, there are a couple different categories of atrial fibrillation, and very commonly it occurs the way that you just described, and that's something called paroxysmal atrial fibrillation. So paroxysmal AFib is AFib that comes and goes, and it may come for a few minutes or a few hours or a few days, but eventually the heart will convert back to normal rhythm on its own. And so some people will say, oh, I was out of rhythm for a half an hour yesterday, but now my heart feels like it's back in normal rhythm. Other people will have persistent atrial fibrillation, meaning that once the heart goes out of rhythm, it stays out of rhythm, and they continue to have atrial fibrillation until we do something with medications or other procedures in order to get it back to normal rhythm. And why some people have paroxysmal atrial fibrillation, the kind that comes and goes on its own, and other people have the more persistent kind, where once it comes, it tends to stay there until we do something about it, we don't really understand very well why some people have one kind and some people have the other. A lot of times what happens is sometimes people have paroxysmal atrial fibrillation where it comes and goes, and it may have that pattern for many months or many years, and then subsequently it may develop into a more persistent kind of atrial fibrillation that doesn't come and go as much, but once it comes, it tends to stay. But everybody's course is different. People are very different in terms of how their atrial fibrillation presents and what kinds of symptoms it causes.
So before we get to how it can be managed with lifestyle and dietary changes, we're talking about the heart here, Dr. Merchant, and this is kind of weird. Is this life-threatening at all? I mean, it almost sounds like, yeah, it's kind of normal. It goes in, out. People live with it for years. How dangerous of a condition is this?
Yeah, that's actually a very important question. So with treatment, atrial fibrillation is not life-threatening. People typically don't die specifically from atrial fibrillation. The one risk that I don't think we're going to talk about too much today, but some people who have atrial fibrillation, when the heart is beating irregularly, you can form blood clots inside the heart. And one of the most important aspects of treating atrial fibrillation is many people who have AFib have to take blood thinners. And what those blood thinners do is prevent them from forming blood clots in the heart. Because if you develop a blood clot inside the heart, that can break off and go up to the brain and cause a stroke. And obviously, strokes can be very serious and can be life-threatening. So one of the most important elements of treating atrial fibrillation is to determine whether people need to take blood thinners or not in order to prevent a stroke. But generally, for people who are taking blood thinners to protect them from having a stroke, otherwise the atrial fibrillation itself may cause symptoms, but generally is not life-threatening.
Okay, well, that's really good to know. So let's talk about managing this. First, with lifestyle changes, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so as we talked about a little bit already, one of the biggest drivers of atrial fibrillation, one of the biggest causes of AFib is being overweight. We know that there is a very close relationship between being overweight and the risk of developing atrial fibrillation. And people who are overweight or obese are at much higher risk of developing atrial fibrillation. So one of the most important things that people can do in order to prevent their risk of developing atrial fibrillation is to try to maintain a healthy weight. And obviously the two important lifestyle things there are to try to eat a healthy diet, and also to try to exercise. And both of those things can help prevent the risk of atrial fibrillation. We know that the more people exercise, the fitter they are, the better their level of aerobic capacity, the more that they're able to exercise, the lower their risk of atrial fibrillation is. And the same is true for, maintaining a healthy weight. And one of the things that's interesting is that atrial fibrillation for many people can be reversible. So even once people develop atrial fibrillation, if they make efforts to try to eat better, to try to lose weight, to try to exercise, the atrial fibrillation process can be reversed. And in some people, it goes away completely. So probably the most important lifestyle measures that people can take are exercise and diet, particularly with the goal of losing weight.
Really good information and good news, too. So strive for that healthy weight and pay attention to exercise so your cardiovascular health is really important. The heart is a muscle. Is that right, Dr. Merchant? So the more you strengthen it, that may lessen the symptoms of AFib. And as you say, in some cases, it might even just go away with proper exercise. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. The heart is a muscle like any other muscle. It's just like your bicep. And if you want your bicep to get stronger, you lift weights. And if you want your heart to get stronger, you have to exercise it. And exercising the heart has a very important impact on both controlling atrial fibrillation and in reversing the causes of atrial fibrillation.
Wow, that is really interesting. So lifestyle changes, like we talked about, pay attention to that exercise, strive for the healthy weight. As far as dietary changes go, are there food groups or a way someone should be eating that would help lessen the effects of AFib?
Yeah, I think that the most important thing in terms of the diet is really has more to do with the weight. There doesn't, at least as far as we understand atrial fibrillation currently, there don't seem to necessarily be specific foods that make you more or less likely to develop atrial fibrillation. But in general, you want to try to eat well, avoid a lot of fats, avoid sugars, and the kinds of things that help people maintain a healthy weight. The two specific things that sort of fall in the diet category that are worth mentioning, one is alcohol. Alcohol is a very potent stimulus for atrial fibrillation. So people who drink are much more likely to develop atrial fibrillation. And so one of the things that we frequently counsel patients to do when they develop atrial fibrillation is to try to cut back a little bit on their alcohol consumption and maintain a safe level of alcohol consumption and not drink too much in any given setting. And the other thing that has in some studies been associated with the risk of atrial fibrillation is caffeine. And so we generally try to have people moderate their caffeine consumption also. And those are two additional kind of lifestyle things that can really be very helpful in controlling the risk of atrial fibrillation.
Two of the things I love, coffee and wine. Might have to cut back on those. Darn it, Dr. Merchant. Come on. No, but
well,
that's really good advice.
And we generally tell people we want them to be able to do the things that they enjoy. And, if people enjoy having a glass of wine with dinner, that's probably fine. Where people really seem to get in trouble is when one glass of wine turns into three or four glasses of wine, and that happens five times a week. That's when people really have a much higher risk of developing atrial fibrillation. So we try to tell people to be smart, thoughtful about how much alcohol they're consuming. And in a lot of situations, there's room to cut back some without necessarily giving up everything you enjoy.
Well, this has been very, very informative. So I guess in general, it's safe to say with proper lifestyle and dietary changes, AFib can be managed throughout a lifetime. Is that correct?
That is absolutely true. And for many people, once they develop AFib, they may continue to have it for the rest of their life. But it's a very manageable and treatable kind of thing. And with appropriate treatment, should not necessarily impede people from living the lives that they want to lead.
And if they feel these palpitations, like you mentioned before, probably a good idea to go see your doctor and just have it checked out.
Absolutely. I think when people have symptoms of palpitations or feeling like their heart's beating irregularly, or if they're short of breath or tired for unexpected reasons without any clear explanation, I think certainly getting those things checked out is important, because atrial fibrillation is a very common cause for those symptoms. And as we said, is absolutely treatable if it's identified.
Great information, Dr. Merchant. Thank you so much for your time. For more information, please visit emoryhealthcare.org/heart. That's emoryhealthcare.org/heart. You're listening to Advancing Your Health with Emory Healthcare. I'm Bill Klaproth. Thanks for listening.